The rest of the story. Once upon a time, there was a great and wise Indian chief who embarked on a mission of compassion. In his lifetime, he had seen the magnificent land of his Native American ancestors fall slowly and yet surely into the white man's hands. He had done all that he could to resist the desecration of that hallowed ground, but all that he could do was not enough. The sun was setting swiftly on the day of his people. A new day was dawning. It was time, he decided, to salvage what little dignity was left. Battle against the white guns had failed. Compromises had been betrayed. If he could only appeal personally to the white people and to their leader, he thought perhaps Native Americans might be allowed to fit in, might be allowed to share somehow in the strange new way of life. So this chief, accompanied by a handful from his tribe, began talking to the white man, a United States Army colonel named Alvarin Allen. He made the arrangements. The chief was also assured that after his tour of 15 cities, he would have the opportunity to meet with the president. The first stop was the city of St. Paul. On the public platform, in addition to Colonel Allen and the chief, sat seven Native Americans, three men, two women, two children. The chief rose solemnly and addressed his white audience, and I want you to listen carefully to what he said. He said, "My friends, white people, we Indians are on our way to Washington to see the grandfather whom you call President of the United States. I see so many white people and what they are doing that it makes me glad to know that someday my children will be educated also. There's no use fighting any longer. The buffalo are all gone. The rest of the wild game is mostly gone. Now I'm going to shake the hand of the great white father in Washington, and I'm going to tell him all these things." Then the chief returned to his chair and sat down. Colonel Allen then got up and spoke to the audience, concluding with an invitation to meet the chief personally. Well, a line formed, a lot of white people gawking, stared strangely. One by one, they silently confronted the chief. Some of them shook his hand. But the rest of the story is that the chief never was permitted to meet our president. And eventually he returned to his tribe hurt and confused. The violence he sought to avoid found him 5 years later. The chief led an uprising and was captured and was subsequently shot and killed. Had he known what you are about to learn, he would have realized that in this new world of the white man, he never had a chance. For when he was making that tour of American cities, under the apparently benevolent guidance of Colonel Alvarin Allen, he, the chief, could neither speak nor understand the white man's language. And so to communicate his message of peace to his white audiences, he relied completely on Colonel Allen as his translator. But the colonel did not translate. Instead, the colonel spun a blood-curdling yarn of his own, causing curious whites at 50 cents a head in city after city to believe the outright lie that the chief at the Little Bighorn had slaughtered General Custer. Well, the fact is, the chief had not fought that day at all. He whom the Sioux called Sitting Bull would live to fight, and fight to lose, against the white man's most powerful of all weapons, his forked tongue. And now you know the rest of the story.